Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Monday, March 4th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to have a spoiler-filled conversation about the new movie Spaceman, and we're going to also talk about Adam Sandler as a dramatic actor. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor and chief film critic, Chris Evangelista.
Hello.
All right, Chris. So Spaceman is the new Adam Sandler movie. It's on Netflix right now. I believe as of this recording, it's in Netflix's top 10. Johan Rank, I believe, is the director of this. He came from, he worked on Chernobyl, the HBO series, which was excellent. So you reviewed Spaceman. I'm going to link to your review in the show notes. But I thought because this movie is, you know, the latest in a long line of Adam Sandler as a dramatic actor projects, that it warranted some discussion here, and then we can actually have a broader conversation in the back half of the show about maybe like what makes Sandler an interesting performer when he switches over into drama. So with all of that said, what did you think about Spaceman?
Spaceman is okay. It's not I wouldn't call it a must watch. It's kind of dull, honestly. What makes it worthwhile is Sandler's performance. This is definitely of all his dramatic performances, I haven't seen all of them. I haven't seen Rain Over Me, and we'll talk about that later. But of all the dramatic performances I've seen, this is the most dramatic he's done. Like, even when he does drama, you can see the comedic Adam Sandler poking through. I think the best example is Punch Drunk Love, which is the first time he ever did a dramatic film. You know, that's still very much like an Adam Sandler character. And this is much different from him. Not only is he playing an astronaut, he's playing an astronaut from the Czech Republic, which is kind of strange. Thankfully, he does not do an accent. I feel like that would have been a disaster. He was like,
There's a tiny hint of one, but he does not go, full Czech, I guess.
Yeah. And it's a very serious role for him. He's basically playing this really depressed guy. He's been in space for, I forget the exact time. It's over 100 days. I think it's close to 200 days he's been in space. And he's completely alone in space. He doesn't have a crew with him. He's all by himself. He hasn't heard from his wife in a while. His wife is pregnant. She's played by Carey Mulligan. And we find out that back on Earth, she's decided to leave him. And she's actually sent a message to him telling him this. But, the powers that be, the mission control has decided to not give him this message because they don't want him to spiral even further, because they can tell he's slowly going a little stir crazy up in space all by himself. So It's just a very serious movie. And even for what happens eventually a giant talking spider shows up, played by Paul Dano, or Paul Dano's voice, basically. And you would think that sounds ridiculous. And the movie plays it very straight, very seriously. There's some comedic elements here in the sense that the spider really loves Nutella, which I guess is funny.
Yep.
It's Sandler never breaks, really. He's completely dramatic with the entire film. He just looks exhausted and sad, and he does a really good job with the role. It's not what you would expect from him. Even when you see his dramatic roles, I don't think anyone would expect something from him. So I think the movie is worth seeing to see Adam Sandler in this sort of performance. But the movie itself is kind of hit or miss for me. I didn't quite gel with it. I appreciated it. I liked the scenes with Adam Sandler and the giant spider, but it just, Carey Mulligan's character is barely a character. She's just hanging out on Earth and they keep cutting to her. And I don't know. It's based on a book, which I haven't read. I'm assuming the book is probably better and probably goes into these things a lot better than the movie does. But If you want to see Adam Sandler and a giant spider hanging out and becoming friends, then I guess you should watch Spaceman.
Yeah, I didn't really have a lot of fun with this movie. It's not a fun story. It's basically a cinematic therapy session between this really damaged man and a space spider, which is just as weird as it sounds. And it's, at its heart, it's kind of a movie about a broken relationship, which is not, it's not exactly a fun way to spend 2 hours or whatever. And Sandler, you said, this is probably the saddest that he's ever been consistently in a movie. So it just feels, I don't know, it almost feels like he's miscast in this. Sometimes I don't know. I have to, and especially with the check aspect of it too, I kind of just wonder if like maybe different performers would have maybe been able to breathe some more life into the story or something, but it does feel like it just kind of floats there, I guess, to use a space term, yes. Where there's not really a ton of action in the movie or anything like that. And even like the character dynamics and the story beats and stuff, it just kind of feels like it all just is doled out very, very slowly and very deliberately. But I don't know.
It's kind of a dull movie. It really is. And it should not be for its subject matter. But I do think there's a part at the end where, did we say this is spoiler?
Yeah, full spoiler. So yeah.
There's a part at the end where the space spider basically disintegrates and Adam Sandler seems so sad about that. And that really got to me. I was like, oh man, I feel really bad for sad Adam Sandler. So I do think he does a pretty good job selling how miserable this character is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you that it's not a fun movie to watch. I think it had to be fun, but it's like, it's kind of like a chore to sit through. It's almost like, oh my God, yeah. Can you lighten up a little bit, spaceman?
Yeah. That moment where Hanush is the name that he gives to the spider, which is just very funny to hear Adam Sandler refer to a spider as Hanush for 90 minutes or whatever. When he disappears, that was very much like the Wilson in Castaway moment where Wilson floats away and you see the anguish on Sandler's face there. There were a couple other things that I really liked about the movie. There's one part like before the spider really shows up, there's this nightmarish, I guess, imagery of the spider kind of like coming out of his eye and his mouth. Like when he first begins to, I don't even know what you would, when he first shows up, basically, it's like he's coming out of Sandler's character himself instead of, coming from outside of the spaceship or whatever. And I was just like, oh man, this is like so visceral and gnarly and gross in like the exact way that the filmmakers wanted me to feel, super uncomfortable. I think they really succeeded with that particular bit of imagery, but the rest of the movie is kind of like low key and there's not really a lot of like visually memorable stuff in it. But yeah, did that moment resonate with you as well?
That was really upsetting. It really freaked me out. I don't like bugs. I got a thing about bugs and like the legs are like poking out of his freaking mouth and it's just like, ah, but then like the movie just kind of like lets that go. It's like, all right, never mind. I guess that wasn't really much of anything.
I was also horrified by the fact, that moment where he had to say the product slogan before they would allow him to decontaminate the ship.
Yes.
It was just like, oh man, this is like actually a pretty, searing indictment of capitalism and sort of like showing us how much worse capitalism could potentially get in our real world. Which I was like, oh man, this movie might actually have something to say. And then it just kind of like didn't really get into that very much. And I guess everything that the movie really had to say is basically kind of summed up in the relationship between Sandler's character and Carey Mulligan's character and then Sandler and the spider. And it doesn't really, I thought that was going to be like a door opening for the movie to be a wider commentary on, our society or whatever. And it just didn't really do that in my view. So, were there any like lines or anything that stood out to you? I wrote down one line. There's a part where the spider is interrogating Sandler's character and learning a little bit about his past. And he says something like, the pain that it causes, is it of value to you? And like, I don't know, that was just one of the moments where I felt like, oh, there's an actual, sort of like observant moment about the human condition, and like that seems very relatable in some ways of like, sometimes when things are going bad in life, you can kind of lean into the pain and the negativity of it, and it just kind of like defines you for a little while. And I thought that movie, or that line anyway, sort of like illuminated that part of the human condition in a good way. But otherwise, I was just kind of floating along with the movie, waiting for it to really connect with me emotionally. It didn't really, but were there any other, lines or moments or anything that sort of like you would maybe would drive you to recommend this to somebody else?
I don't have any lines, but I do think Paul Dano does a really good job as the voice of the spider. It's very like a very calm, soothing voice. And it makes the spider like cuddly as a giant spider could be, because it looks like a spider. It doesn't look like an alien. It looks like an actual giant spider. And there's like a part where Adam Sandler like hugs the spider, and I was like, this is like genuinely touching. It's a genuinely touching moment where a man hugs a giant spider. and the spider isn't trying to like eat him or anything like that.
So filmmakers seem to love this genre, Chris. Like the you know, they seem really attracted to the idea of using space as a metaphor for loneliness. And I was trying to think of other space movies that did this type of thing well, or maybe better than the movie Spaceman did. And I was curious, I just wanted to throw it to you first before I listed any of the things that I wrote down. Just off the top of your head, are there any space films that you think kind of get, maybe do a little bit more successfully what this movie was trying to do?
The two biggest ones for me are, one is First Man, which is like a really underrated movie, Damon Chazelle's movie, where Ryan Gosling plays Neil Armstrong, is basically this emotionally stunted man who blasts into space. And I do think time will be kinder to that movie. Like, it was a notorious like box office disappointment, and I do think people have come around to realize like this is a really good movie. And the other example is Steven Soderbergh's remake of Solaris does this really well, where George Clooney's character, his I can't remember if it's his wife or his girl, I think it's his wife, but has died, and he goes on this space mission. And obviously Solaris is a remake, but I'm thinking specifically of the Soderbergh version does this really, really well.
Yeah, that's great. I think, you know, I was thinking about like The Martian, but that's kind of a movie about a guy who is literally alone on another planet. But I wouldn't really say that that's an exploration of loneliness as a character trait, which seems to be something that Spaceman is kind of doing. And like similarly, Gravity, Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity has like some of the most incredible shots of a character actually being alone in space that I've ever seen. But I don't really think it falls into the category that we're talking about here. It's been a while since I've rewatched that, but I think there are some conversations about Sandra Bullock's character's daughter's death and how that impacted her character. But I think the movie is kind of too like snappy and propulsive to really spend too much time on that kind of stuff.
Too packed, It's like a video game. Something goes wrong like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, but like Duncan Jones' Moon, I was thinking is maybe a good, you know, closer example. And then a movie that I didn't see, but I think you did, Ad Astra. I was wondering if that fell in the same, you know, center, under the same umbrella.
That's very much about just loneliness, especially like a cosmic sort of loneliness where like we're all alone really when it comes right down to it. That's a great movie. That's another movie that flopped at the box office, but is really worth seeing. If you have not seen Ad Astra, and there's a good chance you haven't because no one saw Ad Astra, go watch Ad Astra. I think it's streaming somewhere. I'm going to look right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's been on my list of things to watch ever since it came out because I missed it in theaters.
It's not streaming anywhere. It's streaming on FX now, which I don't think anyone has. So it's not streaming anywhere.
All right. Enough of the jokes, Chris. We all know FX now doesn't exist. So, okay. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and talk more broadly about Adam Sandler as a dramatic performer.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Okay, so I feel like Adam Sandler is famous for the way that he can explode into anger, right? Like that's sort of his defining characteristic as a comedic and dramatic performer, I think. And often when he does that, it's very funny. And his exaggerated physicality and that kind of like dripping sarcasm that he has, you know, it kind of like whips into this raging fury that is just really entertaining to watch on screen. And he can almost feel like a cartoon character or something in those moments, like Yosemite Sam or somebody, you know, who's just like red in the face and basically like firing guns underneath him to lift himself up in the sky or whatever. But he also has this different mode as an actor where, you know, when he shifts into this sort of dramatic persona, he is really capable. And when he's in more serious movies, he's able to sort of twist that anger into a different vibe in a way. I feel like he's able to remove the cartoonish nature and make it feel genuine. And like, it may not always be relatable, but at least it becomes like an understandable thing as a type of anger that people might encounter in their everyday lives. So what is it you think that, I guess, makes Adam Sandler an interesting dramatic actor?
He's very good at tapping into this sort of, I guess it's like insecurity, I want to call it. And he, you know, I don't know if that's like something he gets from his real life or why. I imagine it's not, because he's a obscenely wealthy man with a family and he does whatever he wants. But maybe he's an insecure guy deep down. Maybe, you know, maybe wealth and fame isn't enough to tamp down those feelings. I mean, everyone has those feelings somewhere within them. And he's very good at that, like, insecure loneliness sort of. I feel like all his dramatic roles, with the exception of Uncut Gems, although that I think has insecurity been into it, but it has have like this real loneliness to the character. And I feel like that's why he's so good in Spaceman too, because that character is literally alone. But there's this sort of sad, like, anytime he's called on to do a dramatic role, it's like, we need him to be like a sad sort of guy. And he plays that really well, to the point where it's almost like alarming, where it's like, I hope Adam Sandler is okay. Like, is he this sad in real life? I hope not, because it's a terrible way to live. And, but I do think that's sort of like, I like what he plays really well when he plays drama. Like, he just plays really lonely, sad guys. And mm-hmm. I don't know why he's able to. I think that's just because that's like that's built into like the man children he plays in his comedies. These characters who are prone to exploding when they're pushed a little too far. And like, what is that emotion if not a reflection of being insecure, of being sad inside? Like, mm-hmm. there's, you know, you don't, it's not explored in his comedies, because those would be really, they're making those comedies really like depressing. And but like, if you peel back, like, it's funny to laugh at this guy yelling. You start to think like, well, why is he yelling? Why does he have such a short fuse? And it's like, maybe there's something like inherently emotionally wrong with this guy. And it's like, we don't think about that because, you know, again, it would make those movies miserable. Yeah. But I do think that's really what he specializes in playing. There's like characters with this emotional vulnerability.
Yeah, that's very well said. I was kind of thinking about his dramatic movies, and I saw some list or something that included a bunch of his comedic work in what was ostensibly a list of his best dramatic performances. And I was like, this is just way off. So the ones that I was able to sort of pinpoint into being like pure Adam Sandler dramatic performances were Spanglish, Men, Women, and Children, Rain Over Me, The Meyerowitz Stories, Hustle, Uncut Gems, Punch Drunk Love, and then now Spaceman. I think I was talking to you before we started recording, and neither you nor I have seen Spanglish, Men, Women, and Children, and Rain Over Me. I really wanted to try to watch those before we had this conversation, just to, you know, in case there was any observations I had about them to make this a little bit more relevant. But especially Men, Women, and Children, I just heard was like a very bad movie, and I just kind of ran out of time. And I was like, I'm not going to squeeze.
The internet is bad.
Yeah, I'm not going to rearrange my entire life to watch what from all corners seems to be a really, really bad movie. I was wondering what you remembered about the Meyerowitz Stories, because it's been a long time. I think that movie came out like 6 or 7 years ago or something. It's been a long time since I've seen that one. I don't really remember it super well. What do you remember about Sandler's dramatic work in that film?
Yeah, I haven't seen it since it came out, but I remember him being really good in that. Him and Ben Stiller play brothers, and they're like on opposite ends of the spectrum, sort of like where Ben Stiller kind of has his life together and Adam Sandler is kind of a mess. And he's just really, there's a part in the, I just remember there's a part at the end of the movie where he realizes his father is played by Dustin Hoffman. He's just toxic and needs to cut him out of his life. And Sandler does it. He sells it in this like really, it's funny the way he does it, but it's like really sad. Like he has this like list of, I can't remember the list. It's like a list of words you're supposed to say to someone to cut them out of your life. And the idea isn't to say them all at once, but he says them all at once, like a chant, but he says it like under his breath. And it's like really like, it's funny, but it's like, oh, that's very depressing when you think about it. And just the way he sells that is like, it's again, he's playing like another sad guy. And he's just like really rumpled in that movie, and all his clothes are wrinkly, and I remember he has like a terrible mustache just to like sell the character even more.
Hustle, I think we talked about that when that movie came out not too long ago on Netflix. That's another one where he doesn't really do like the big blow up moment, you know, in that, you know, sort of harnessing that anger in the way that he can so often. It's a much more like low-key performance, and he's able to be funny to a degree, but it's kind of like a lighthearted thing. It's much more of a drama than a comedy. I don't know. Do you have any particular memories about Hustle? Anything that you wanted to say about that?
No, again, he's a sad guy in that too. Like, he's not as sad, but he's still a sad guy. And I just think that's the recurring theme, that like Adam Sandler, good at being sad. And yeah. He's like trying to prove, he's like a guy trying to prove something in that movie. And I just remember like, the basketball scenes in that movie were shot really well. Like, they're really like propulsive and explosive, which doesn't really matter to his performance at all. But I just remember that being like the biggest standout of that movie.
Yeah. And Uncut Gems, I think, is maybe, I don't know, I guess a case could be made between Uncut Gems and Punch Drunk Love in terms of like what his best dramatic performance is. Do you have a preference between those two?
I prefer Punch Drunk Love. Uncut Gems, I think, is a great movie. He's great in it. He absolutely should have been nominated for an Oscar. Like, that was like, they blew it right there. Like, there was a perfect opportunity to give Adam Sandler an Oscar nomination, and he didn't get it. And it's like, come on. Like, he builds that entire character from the ground up, basically. And like, that character is so infuriating.
Yeah.
Because like, like, he's a gambling addict. He can't help gamble. And us, you know, if you're not an addict, if you're on the outside looking in like we are, it's like, what are you doing? Like, he has so many chances to sort of break out of this cycle of badness. And he just keeps digging himself into the hole more and more. And it's so much so that, like, that movie is hard for me. Like, I saw that at TIFF, and just watching it made me like, oh, my God. I felt like I was going to throw up. It's so, like, like anxiety inducing to watch this guy keep screwing up his life one minute after another. And but he's so good in that. But I prefer Punch Drunk Love, just because I prefer that as a film. I prefer that as a performance. Although I do think that's, and like Paul Thomas Anderson has even said this, that like, he's basically made an Adam Sandler movie as like an indie drama, basically, because he's very much playing the sort of character he plays in his comedies, where he's like this guy who blows up and yells a lot, but he's playing it in it with a dramatic bent where it's like, oh, this guy is unhealthy. He's not like a wacky hockey player. He's a lonely, lonely guy.
Yeah. I watched Punch Drunk Love for the first time for this conversation. It's been on my list of things to watch for 15 years or something. And I finally was like, okay, this is the perfect opportunity to watch this. And I have never seen a movie like that before. It's this really interesting mixture of a similar kind of high anxiety that appears in Uncut Gems, maybe not dialed up quite that, you know, that intense. But then it's blending that with this romance, which is just like a combination that is so rare to see. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. And you know, going back to that idea of Sandler tapping into anger as like a tool in his dramatic arsenal or whatever, there are moments in Punch Drunk Love where his anger and violence feels really scary. Like, if you're a non-violent person and you've ever been around a violent person, you know that feeling that you get in the pit of your stomach when violence breaks out around you. And I think Punch Drunk Love is fascinating because Sandler's performance has a little bit of that feeling to it, where the movie also wants you to buy into that love story between him and Emily Watson's character, but there's this really like scary undercurrent going on, and that's a really tricky line to walk, but I think he mostly manages to pull it off.
Yeah, absolutely. There are, like you said, there are moments in the movie where it's like, it's like the flip side of him in Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison, where it's like, he yells in those movies, but it's funny when he yells, and in this, it's like you're like concerned, like especially when he's like around other people and just like losing his shit. Like, there's that part where like he has like, I think he has like seven sisters,
that's
something insane like that. And like he goes to have family dinner with them, and everyone is like, that movie does a really good job. Like, I suffer from anxiety, and that movie does a really good job of portraying what it's like to have anxiety and like to be in your own head, and the way like the way that movie plays with sound and how sound gets like overwhelming. And then he's like kicking the glass window until it explodes. And it's like, this is like, wow. It's like, it takes you, like, again, if this were a comedy, that would be played for laughs. And it's not played for laughs in this. Like, it's darkly funny, but it's like, it's played for like, what the hell is going on with this guy? This guy is like not well.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And there are so many different types of moments that appear in this. There's that moment where he's like running through Emily Watson's character's apartment and he can't seem to find her room. And it feels like something that's like Kafka-esque or something, like almost out of Terry Gilliam's Brazil or whatever, where like all of the hallways look the same and he's like completely lost and doesn't know where he's going. And then, you know, things change and he's on the phone with Philip Seymour Hoffman and there's that great phone call scene with them. And it feels like it's out of a totally different movie or something. But like, I just kept thinking like, oh my God, this is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. Like, it just feels unlike everything that he's ever made that I've seen. I think I've seen all of his, actually I've not seen Hard Eight yet. But it feels like unlike most of the things that I've seen of his work anyway. But I guess like when you think about it as a Paul Thomas Anderson project, cause I know you're a fan of his stuff. How do you think about Punch Drunk Love in that way? Like, does it feel like there's a thematic through line or something?
It feels closer to Boogie Nights, but it's definitely a lot different. I mean, it's sort of, I guess you'd sort of compare it to The Master and then it's about like a unhinged main guy, but it's definitely like his style and the type of stories he's tell have definitely like evolved over his career into like the Paul Thomas Anderson of today is like nothing like the guy who made Boogie Nights. Really, it's kind of like interesting to track his trajectory and to like sort of the way he's, because Boogie Nights is very much, you watch that and you're like, oh, this is a guy riffing on Martin Scorsese. Like, and that's not to say Boogie Nights is a bad movie. Boogie Nights is great, but it's very, you watch it, it's very much like Robert Altman meets Martin Scorsese. And the Robert Altman-ness is sort of like all throughout his early movies, but it sort of fades away as he gets, I guess it's still sort of there, but like he's very influenced by Altman and Scorsese in his early career. And he sort of becomes his own guy, I guess, as he makes more movies. And that's the best way I could put it.
So I guess getting back to, I guess as we get near the end of the episode here, I just want to know what you think about Sandler as a, like a romantic lead. You know, in his comedies, he's often paired with like the most gorgeous women on the planet as the, you know, the sad sack, the comedic sad sack and their, you know, the sort of like picture perfect family life kind of thing. But in his dramas, it kind of feels like he's more, again, like a real person, and like the relationships that he has, the romantic relationships that he has feel more lived in a way, instead of sitcom-y like a lot of the comedic stuff does. So I don't know. Do you buy him as a romantic lead, like specifically in Punch Drunk Love, since that one is, you know, fresher on my mind, like that relationship between him and Emily Watson's character. Do you buy that?
I do, because she's portrayed as being just like almost as like unwell as he is. Like there's that part where, like, my favorite scene in that movie is like they're in the hotel and they're like making out and they're just talking about like smashing each other's heads in as they're like kissing, and it's like that's like the scene that gives away that like, oh, she's just as like fucked up as he is, and that's why they're kind of perfect for each other.
I wrote that down in my notes. Wrote weirdest pillow talk I've ever heard.
So I do think I buy. He's not like a bad looking guy in general, and I could buy him as like this sort of like, he's, I think he's a likable guy. And I think that goes a long way. Like, even when he's playing sad guys, you can't help it. Like, I kind of like this guy. I gravitate towards him. He's got a certain schlubby charisma to him. And I think that goes a long way to making him a convincing romantic lead. It doesn't always work. Like, you know, I haven't seen all his movies, but there are some movies where it's like, I don't buy this. But for the most part, I do think it works.
Yeah, and I think Hustle was another good example of that. Like the relationship he has with Queen Latifah's character. It just feels like really, like natural and lived in, and kind of like they have been together for years and years. And I think that's one of his strengths as a dramatic performer, I think, is being able to connect with a romantic lead on like a human level, even in something like Punch Drunk Love, which has like this sort of, you know, heightened, stylized approach to it or whatever. He's always really good at just like bringing things down to earth in a way, and sort of making you be like, oh yeah, this is just like this kind of feels like a relationship that if I haven't had myself, I could imagine, you know, one of my friends having or something like that. So
yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, yeah, it sounds like we're, I don't know, we're both fans of Adam Sandler as a dramatic guy. I don't know if you have any like closing thoughts on him that we haven't really touched on yet.
I'd love to, I'd love to see him like work with like the bigger directors. Like imagine like, cause like he's done Paul Thomas Anderson, but that was, and he's done the Safdie brothers, but I always wish he would like stretch himself even more and work with like bigger film. Like imagine like Adam Sandler in like a Martin Scorsese movie or like even like a Steven Spielberg movie. Like at one point he was supposed to play Eli Roth's character in Inglourious Basterds. And I will always like wish not that. Cause imagine like seeing Adam Sandler bashing a Nazi's head in with a baseball bat. Like that's like, that'd be amazing. I wish we had gotten that. That would have been so cool.
Do you know the story behind why that didn't happen?
I just think it was like a scheduling thing. I just think it just did not work out. I don't know. That might not be accurate, but I just know that Tarantino wrote the role with him in mind and it just didn't work out. And I will always wish that had happened because like Adam Sandler in a Tarantino movie would be so cool. Like make that. I know Tarantino is retiring, but come on, make it happen, Tarantino.
Yeah, but like, and Soderbergh as well. That's a name that jumps to mind where I feel like Soderbergh has been doing this really interesting thing where he's sort of like, I'm thinking of like Brendan, God, why am I blanking?
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser, yes, thank you. Like in No Sudden Move or something where like Fraser was kind of like on the outs in Hollywood for a long time and he like brought him back in an interesting way and like gave him a good part and like, you know, even the Don Cheadle role in that movie, like there's, I feel like Soderbergh tells such a variety of different stories and different genres and stuff that like he could easily write something for Sandler to sort of squeeze into in the dramatic sphere that would be really entertaining to watch. So I don't know, fingers crossed. Maybe we'll get one of those. Do you know if Sandler has anything else like this lined up anytime? I haven't looked ahead to see like what else he's been attached to or anything like that. No, do you know off the top of your head?
I just know he has that Netflix deal, so it feels like he's just constantly going to be working with Netflix. But I don't know anything off the top of my head that is like on the horizon. Hopefully it'll be Grown Ups 3.
All right. Well, on that note, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe to our newsletter. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailback topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.